This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
I'm Robert Horry. They call me Big Shot Bob.
Horry, three-pointer, buries it!
I went to the NBA Finals 7 times and won 7 rings.
The Horry for three. Oh, unbelievable.
This guy is off the charts.
Such a big game player.
Robert Horry from downtown.
The shots don't get any bigger than this.
Horry!
Now that's making a statement.
All right. Not a bad way to start this thing.
Yeah.
It is the Big Shot Bob Pod, episode one. The very first. Yeah, I know. It's like this is the first time we're getting to do this officially. My name is Rob Jenners. That is Robert Horry, the one and only seven-time NBA champion. Dipping your toes into the podcast world, man.
Oh, yes. It's going to be interesting. It's very fun.
Are we doing a refined podcast?
It's going to be fun, man. It's not going to be refined, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We just got to put the Horry spin on it, the RH factor.
The RH factor. I like that a lot. Damn, that's our... We're a minute into the show. We got our first shirt, the RH factor. I love that.
It's a funny story about that. When you growing up, you always think about, what can my nickname be? What can I say? And I'm like, my initials are RH. I'm like, man, the RH back. Let's go with that. So
I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah,
that works.
Some of the things you used to do as a kid.
Is it? But does it count if you come up with it yourself? Doesn't someone have to give you your nickname to work?
I'm from the old school, so someone has to hand it to you. You just can't come up with something. And say, my nickname is the janitor or the warrant.
I'm two piece. That's my nickname now. You're like, why? And I don't know. It's because it's my nickname now. Yeah. We're gonna do the first show in style. We're gonna be joined by Shaquille O'Neal, former teammate of yours, a guy who's not shy to headlines these days.
Oh,
it seems.
You know that. He likes to talk. He's getting bigger, badder, bolder.
Every time he pops his big bulbous melon on television, I'm like, what did he do? What did he say? What happened now? So we're going to get to Shaq here in just a second. We've got a whole lot of stuff on the other side to talk about. But before we do any of that, there's a couple things out of the gate that I wanted to get your take on. The James Harden move to Brooklyn has been the biggest story, I think, of the NBA for the last several weeks. It's kind of quieted down a little bit, but the idea of the building the super team in Brooklyn, do you think that those pieces are going to work together?
Offensively, yes. Defensively, no. Because
really?
We all know James Harden is not the best defensive player in the league. He's not the worst, but he's not the best. And I think KD can cover up a lot defensively, and Kyrie has those moments when he wants to play defense. And I think that's going to be their biggest issue. We all know they can score. They're going to probably average 25 points apiece plus, but I worry about the other end because they lost so many guys that the backbone defensive of the team. I know DeAndre Jordan is back at the block shots, but he's a little bit old and don't block shots like he used to when he was with the Clippers.
I thought, regardless of all the bitching and moaning that James Harden did in Houston, I didn't think Houston was gonna let that move go. I just figured, all right, we'll let him cry in the media and then we'll appease him. We'll put a couple pieces around him and make him happy. And he said, I gave Houston my all. Did he give Houston his all?
I think Houston gave him their all.
That's true.
Especially the organization, because what he wanted, he pretty much got. And you look at the way these players are in this day and age, they get what they want when you're a megastar. They gave him the players. They gave him the coach. It's like, okay, we do this for you. What next, sir? We do this for you. What next, sir?
And it's not enough.
To a point where he don't think he can win a championship, he's like, you know what? I'm out of here. And you hate that happened. I got roots in Houston and I still got a house in Houston and I love that city so much. And I hate that this happened to them, losing a guy like that. And it's going to be a while before this trade can really be impactful for the Houston Rockets, because Oladipo is a good player, but he's no James Harden.
No.
Those picks, we don't know what they're going to turn into. And so either they can turn into some leverage where you can get someone else that's unhappy or some other guy that wants to be traded. So it's one of those moments for the Houston Rockets where you're going to sit back and say, well, let's see what happens.
No better way to start the Big Shot Bob podcast than with a guy that you and I, Robert, have both worked with a lot He's dominated about 6 years of my life. Your relationship goes a little longer than that, but Shaquille O'Neal is with us.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Look at that.
What's at up, that. Big fella?
You know, every time I talk to guys like you, B. Sean, Rick, I got to tell you thank you, bro. I just appreciate you so much. And let's just get right into it. A lot of people thought I was taking shots at Rudy Gobert. Wasn't taking shots at Rudy Gobert. Just wanting people to respect what's going on. You average 11 points. How many rings you got?
7.
Did you ever get 200 million?
Not at all.
Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. I'm not taking shots. So, you know, when I said what I said, because a lot of people don't know, I came on the scene late. So I came on the scene actually my senior year in 1989. And the reason I came on the scene is because my father wanted me to be great. And at 87, 88, I wasn't great. So I was like, you know what? I'm not meeting my dad's expectations. I might not even make it to the NBA. Then my father came in one day and smacked me across the head with a piece of paper. I opened it up. John Konkak, 5 for 15. You remember that contract, Rob?
Oh, yeah. We all remember that contract.
Yeah. So John Konkak and my dad's like, get your ass up. We going to the game. Mm-hmm. Now, I go to the game, and I'm like, bro, this dude ain't Ewan. This dude ain't Robinson. This dude ain't, you know, this dude ain't Robert Parrish, but he makes his money. So now that gave me the belief that I can get in. Because believe it or not, Rob, both Robs, I'm averaging 35, 20, 22, and 9 in high school, but I still don't think I'm good enough to get in. Mm-hmm. So when I say this should be motivation for children, it should. This guy ain't no big superstar, but he's making superstar money. So this is a portal for a kid to continue to work hard, continue to do what you do. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, Rob's used to Hakeem Olajuwon. You throw it in the post, he go to work. Throw it to the D's, he go to work. This guy don't really do much of that, but he got big money. I can never hate on these kids making money. I'm glad he makes some money, but I'm letting kids out there that come from Rob's neighborhood, that come from my neighborhood, that say, hey, you don't have to be the best talented. You have to stay out of trouble. You have to work hard, and anything is possible. That's what I meant when I said what I said about his contract. I don't give a shit if he makes $300 million. It doesn't matter to me. I'm saying kids out there from the hood that's getting into trouble, hey, if you just continue to work hard, Rudy Gobert making $200 million, so maybe you can get $300 million. Because after I saw the John Konkak 5 for 15, believe it or not, my goal was $8 million for 10 years. That was my goal. Yeah.
You know what's funny, though, Shaq, though? It's like, you know, people always think veteran players are hating. We're not hating. We're just pointing out how difficult it was for people who are averaging what they're averaging to get the money they're getting. We know it's a different time. It's more money out there. But all we're saying is, you know, show me a little bit more. You know, but these guys nowadays, I call them specialists. Everybody that's a specialist can get paid. You know, we had to be a specialist on both sides of the ball. Now,
I don't care if they like what I say or not. I'm speaking out for you. I'm speaking out for, you know what I'm saying? You know, guys like Vernon Maxwell, you know, guys that didn't get a chance to get the big money. But listen, who cares?
I remember that because I'm like, okay, I'm going in this season. I want some big money. And I'm looking around these guys that are averaging less than me, doing less than me, and they get more money. But the funny part of that is like, do you want to go to a bad team and make all that money, or do you want to be on a good team and make less money? For me, I say, okay, less money and be on a good team, because the most important thing to me was winning. I can't stand losing. But you go through anything I played in my life, I can't stand losing.
I had to deal with you a couple of times in the locker room. Shaq, you in there bullshitting.
All right, so give me the one that stands out to you guys. You guys scuff it up?
Well, we put it this way, we had a really close team. Mm-hmm. Even though me and young fella was doing our marketing stuff, and Rob will tell you, a lot of that was marketing. Right, Rob?
Yeah.
A lot of that was he'd say something to his guy, Jim Gray, I'd say something to my Jim Hill. But when we came together, listen, him and I wasn't the only one talking. Bob had a voice. B. Shaw had a voice. And Rick Fox had a voice. And that's because we, you know, been together so long and we respect each other. So Rob and B. Shaw could look at me and tell when I was partying too much. Like, they wouldn't throw me the ball. They're like, Shaq, when I go throw you the ball, you got to do other stuff. So I would have to prove myself within the game. Like, I'd have to rebound, block shots, rotate. And now that they see that I'm waking up, now they give me the ball.
Hey, can you? Should we say what I used to come into the free throw line and ask you all the time?
Yeah, I think you should. Yes.
Go ahead. Ask him.
So we'd be in a game, and then I can look at Shaq and be like, dude, something's wrong, and I go up to this. To the free throw line, like, dude, did you fuck last night?
Yes.
He was like, what are you saying? Why are you talking? I was like, dude, you sweating like a pig, and you don't look like yourself, man. Did you fuck last night?
I love that.
I had this bar in New York called Sunshine. Rob, know what I'm talking about? I only averaged 6 points when I went to Sunshine.
Oh, no.
Boy.
Oh, Lord. So,
it's funny, you know, think about Big Fella, you know, it's from the LSU days to, you know, him and I going up against each other in college. It's like, I've always had a respect for you, Big Fella, and I know that you've always had a respect for the game. That's one of the things that I really appreciate about you, how you can turn it on when you needed to, and you came with it. You know, I know we always talk about people flipping that switch, but there's only a few athletes that can flip that switch, and I know you are one of those guys that could do it at any time, and you enjoyed the moment and you enjoyed the game and you made everybody around you better. And I want to say thank you for making me better and appreciate you getting me a big contract.
Thank you. And you know, what I always love about you guys is you guys always let me do it my way. I know I didn't come in to training camp the best of shape, but that was just my theory. I'm like, look.
Well, you did one time.
Yeah.
Once?
The year you got MVP, you came into shape because I did. You had a new building, a new coach, a new attitude. You had to. We all did.
Other than that, listen, I just used to, you know, because I used to get beat up so much, I just used to kind of relax and party and do my thing in the summer. And then I'm looking, I'm like, I'm only worrying about one guy. And that guy is Tim Duncan. And when we play him, he ain't going to guard me anyway. So I could work my way into shape, but the guys always, you know, looked out for me.
You have these moments with every, like, sir, you have moments with every player in the league, like, especially your teammates. You have special moments. And I talked to Rob about this the other day. And, you know, we always like to have fun, but we can separate the fun from the game. I just want to know, do you remember what we used to do doing like timeouts and the little thing? I just want to know, I'm going to be upset if you shared our special moment with someone else. You know what I'm talking about? When we used to get together, we look at the cheerleaders and we used to start rapping. You know, that was our special moment. Now, if you shared that with somebody else, man, I'm going to be mad, man.
I have not. I mean, because I mean, listen.
Look at the cheerleaders. Look at the bounce. Look at the bounce.
Because I'd be sitting down there, right, and all the little cheerleader girls be looking over at me. And they'd be bouncing, Jim. So the thing used to be bouncing. Look at the bounce.
That's the thing, like, Shaq. You know, it's in this day and age, as we get older, certain things in your life, you know, happen. And you reflect on moments. I reflect on moments like that. You know, not even the basketball moments. It's little special moments like that. And, you know, especially when it comes to you, you know, you don't even know how many special moments in my life that you've made happen. From coming to my kids' birthday parties to coming over to my house and, you know, playing with my kids and making me do something. You don't even know this, but you made me do something that makes that's one of the things that makes me shiver. And you made me get on a private plane with you and fly back to Houston. And I hate private planes, man. I am so scared of private planes, but my love for you, I got on that plane and we went back to Houston because we both wanted to see our daughter. So it was, you know, special moments like that.
And how's the family? Everybody good?
Man, everybody's good. You know,
I talked to one of your sons the other day. That dude's swole, ain't he?
Oh, that's Nick. He's a chef now. You know, he's the one that was going to go to law school.
Yeah,
he was going to go to law school, but now, you know, his mom got really, really sick. And so he kind of put law school on hold, so you know she's out of the woods now. So hopefully he'll go back and get his degree or his law degree.
I want to ask both of you guys: either you jumping in on LeBron's offer to buy the Dream from Kelly Loeffler?
No.
You said you wanted to, Shaq.
Yeah, I did until I had more people look at it, and it's a SS over there losing money.
Well, I think Kincaid told you that for like 4 years, man.
And I got to wait for them to make money. See if you agree with me, Rob. Ready? You want to hear this?
Let me hear it.
In women's volleyball, beach volleyball, any volleyball, the net is lowered an inch, half an inch. We got a couple girls that could dunk. I say if we move the rim to 9-9 to let the girls be able to show their aerial abilities, I think it would be a better game for them. You agree or disagree? Right now it's at 10 feet. I'm just saying, just go like 9-9.
You know, I never thought about it. Now that you put it out there, it might be because, you know, they always talk about raising the rim for us and lowering the rim for that. I think it could be cool because you got about 4 or 5 girls in the league that can dunk now. And yes. I think that would add some excitement to it.
Let some girls start
dunking on people. Next thing you know, because I really think that people don't appreciate what some of these girls can do. Because I look at some of the skill set that these women have, they can go, man.
Yeah,
but people don't appreciate it because they're women. They look at what we do and try to compare the two, but it's two different entities. So, you know,
But between me and you, that's the only difference is the dunk.
Yeah,
they got sharpshooters. They got guys that can handle. They got players in the post, but they ain't got nobody that could dunk.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Shaq. You and I did a show together for about 6 years.
Yes,
you go way back with Big Shot Bob. Robert and I are still getting to know each other because we're just starting out this show. What are some things I need to know about Robert, and what are some things that Robert needs to know about me?
Rob Jenners is a funny guy. He's white, but he's not white. He's from Jersey.
Thank you, I guess.
He's white because he's not white. He's from Jersey. If you come, say what you got to say, have fun. By the time it goes to air, shit's going to be perfected. He is a perfectionist. He does not fuck around.
Yeah.
If you're going to miss a show, make sure you call him the day before. Because if he gets up there and sets everything up, and then you call him and tell him you can't do it, he's going to be fucking pissed.
Well,
and then Rob Jenner,
you know
Rob
me, Lurie. I got no time.
Yeah, Rob Jenner, Rob Lurie is always professional.
Okay,
he's not going to raise his voice. He's not going to get mad. He's going to do the right thing. He's going to say the right thing. He committed to the podcast, so he'll definitely be making sure that it's one of the top podcasts. And whoever his people are, make sure y'all get him some good guests like this right here.
Yeah,
ain't nobody going to do the numbers like we do.
Well, all right, that's
Rob. Okay, Rob, I'm giving you permission to tell one story that shouldn't be told. Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's I really don't have one. You know, it's ones that I want to tell, but I only tell with the fellas that I'm not going to say on here.
Yeah,
like, you know, dealing with AC's bear and, you know, the situation we had in the locker room.
Go ahead.
And,
okay, you know, I'm going to tell it.
Oh, you tell it? All right, go ahead.
I'm going to tell it.
I want to hear this. Don't tease a story you can't tell.
AC Green had this abstinence bear. Like, you know what that means?
Not really.
Okay, so he was abstinent. He didn't, you know, refrain.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I know what you're talking
about.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't refrain in certain activities.
You can see some shots of him with the little green bear sitting on his head. If you look at
some
photos.
Okay,
I got you.
So,
okay.
So one player decides one day to take his bear, gut it out, and put it on his thing and come out of the shower with the bear on his...
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm not going to say that player's name.
Oh.
Yes.
Was it you?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody took his bear, took out all the stuff and put the bear on they took the bear for a ride, a hard ride at that. And then came out in the middle of the locker room and opened up the towel. The players were going crazy. Everybody was laughing.
How did he take that?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think he saw it. Did he see it?
No, he wasn't there. He wasn't in there.
So you guys abused his abstinence bear when he wasn't even there to see it.
The bad part is he then got the bear and put it back in his locker.
With a fresh, gooey center. Yeah, yummy. That's terrible.
Yeah, we had some good times.
That's terrible.
Yeah. You know, speaking of good times, and dude, when is the last time you played basketball?
That's a good
real
question.
Basketball?
Yeah.
Like a game?
No, yeah, like a game. Like I know, cause, you know,
game.
It's hard. It's hard to play with people you trust when you know you're a former NBA player because people want to go at you and stuff. Yeah,
a game about 7 years ago.
Okay,
shoot around with the fella with my son and all that. I can go a hard 2 minutes. Pause.
Pause.
I can't. Like I can get like one move, but like when I get to the rim, remember how it was all always, you know, just in us to dunk. Now I got to, like, think about dunking. I'm like, you know, like, I could, like, stop time and be like, okay, you can dunk, but you may pull your Achilles again. Yeah. You may pull a hamstring.
Bust
you
your knee up. Yeah.
Just go and just lay it up. So,
oh, dude, I'm just, yeah, I'm but, the same way. So my, know, my youngest... My youngest is 15, so we talking about playing basketball. He's been challenging me for the last 4 or 5 months. I said, you would challenge me when my body gets to the point where it's really breaking down. Knees hurt, ankles hurt, toes hurt. And so I finally said, okay, let's go out there and play, right? Man, that's the first time I ever felt old. That dude was blowing by me so fast, man. I'm like, he's a 15-year-old. He was enjoying it too, man. Yeah, I don't know if your kids like that, but they enjoy when they beat you, especially you. Like, okay, you used to play in the NBA. You know, I'm like, you 15. I'm 50. It's a big difference with bad knees. I'm like, so, yeah.
I admit I have to get L.A. Laker Portland playoff series rough with him. Hack a shack on me. They don't like that. You know, as soon as they drive by me, just, you know, swipe down. That's a foul. No, it ain't. Man up, you little punk.
Well, you mean they got to get tough. How is Sharif doing at LSU?
He's okay. You know, he's playing. He's playing okay. I'm trying to teach him about seizing the moment, especially now. Like, if I was him or any player, I'm looking at that Rudy Gobert contract. I'm looking at that Paul.
Oh, Paul George?
George contract. Yeah. That's the only thing I'm looking at, period. I ain't looking at nobody else. That's what I'm looking at. Because when I was in college, I looked at Derek Coleman and I looked at Larry Johnson because I knew I was going to be the first or second pick, and those are the contracts I'm looking at. And one time for 15 and one time for 20.
Why you lying, man? Why you lying? You knew you was going to be the first pick. Even in the draft, you looked saying, like, who, me? Me? Like, come on, man. You knew you was going to be number one.
You're right.
He's feigning being humble, you know? I had no idea.
All right, you called me once again, Big Shot.
Hey, I'm the only one that know where the hell I was going. I went to 10 different teams trying to figure out where I was going to go. I'm like, man, I'm all over the country. But, you know, you knew. I bet you only took one visit, right? And that was Orlando. That was it.
Yeah, one visit. And they was like, we want you to work out. I was like, nah, I'm cool. Hey, who gave you the name Big Shot Bob?
You know, it happened with, what's his name, Kilbourne. Craig Kilbourne on ESPN.
Oh, that's right. That's what Kilbourne was back
on. I don't think so. No.
Oh, are you taking credit?
I sure am.
We've gone through this before, Robert, where he takes credit for everybody's nickname. I know it.
Check this out, though, Shaq. It happened actually when we were playing you guys in the finals. So he came on, and because he was saying he called me Big Shot Bob, and my mom actually heard it and was like, I don't want him to call you Bob. And I actually saw him at the game and told him, and he came on TV the next time and said, Big Shot Bob. Oh, I'm sorry. Big Shot Rob, because his mom don't want me to call him Bob. And so it was actually him that said that. But you can take credit for it because you're bigger than me. So go ahead.
I can see. Well, that's okay. He did give me my nickname by calling me the wrong name when he was promoting our podcast back in the day. He called me Rob Jenkin on national television. So my nickname has been Rob Jenkin ever since. So you can take credit for that one.
Before you go, Shaq,
more stories you want to tell, Big Shot?
No, I'm not going to tell any stories, but, you know, I just want to let you know that it's a couple of things that you promised me that I still haven't gotten. I'm just going to call you that right now.
Oh.
You were supposed to send me the info on the trophies, the little trophies you have in your house. Did I tell you the one that you had up for sale and I told you to give it to me for $500 and you wouldn't do it?
Hold on, tell me.
What is this?
I'm going to take care of it right now. Give Rob your number and your address and I'll have it shipped there.
I'm not asking you to. I just wanted to find out where you got them from so I can put them on my trophy case.
No, I'm going to have them sent to you.
Okay.
How many do you want? Seven?
I need seven of them.
Okay, cool. Got it.
All right. And the other thing is, you know, this on a personal note, you know, that my 15-year-old and your daughter have been communicating, right?
No.
Yeah, so they've become really good friends, and I just want to let you know that you know, I don't know if we're going to be family one day.
Hold on. You talking about Shakir?
No.
Oh, no, son. His daughter. Yeah. You, daughter.
No, your son and my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Rob, don't have my me son knock and your ass out. Let me knock your ass out, Rob, at the family picnic.
You know, the funny thing is, my son is like, you know, his whole life is he wants a tall wife because he wants to have tall kids. He says his kids ain't gonna be basketball players a model. So you really got to be nice to me. You know, this is good lineage over here, dog. Yeah. So you better.
All right.
This is what we're doing. We're just negotiating weddings now.
I know, right? Hey, the good thing about this, I know her dad can afford to win. I don't have to pay for it.
That's for damn sure. For damn sure. Getting him to go into his pockets, another thing. But, you know, I mean, he can afford it. But, you know. All right, fella.
All right. Love you guys. All right, Bob.
We love you, man.
All right, Rob, I'll talk to you.
All right, well, there it was, Shaquille O'Neal. taped actually before anything we're about to talk about, which is the Donovan Mitchell saga and Shaq. I'm sure, because you've been, and by the way, you were taping this, you're coming off the jump. I mean, you were coming home to do the show today, coming from the jump on ESPN. I'm sure you guys have probably talked a ton about this, either on the Spectrum broadcast or on the jump. Let's play the clip. Here was Shaq and Donovan Mitchell after the game the other night.
Spider, this is Shaq. I said tonight that you are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right. That's it.
That's it?
All right. That's it.
Okay, cool.
I've been hearing that since my rookie year. You know, I'm just going to get better and do what I do.
Good.
At the end of the day.
Well, that's what I wanted you to hear you say. Yes, love your game, brother. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was God bless the big fella. Sometimes we don't know where he's going when he starts these things.
Yes.
A little awkward. What do you think he was trying to elicit from Spider during that?
I think Shaq sometimes has a little jealousy in him. And I think he's jealous of.
Hold on, let me make sure he's off the line. Is he gone? He's gone. All right, you're okay. You're in the clear. He's gone.
I think he's a little jealous of the KD Barkley relationship. So he wants to have that type of relationship with someone.
Oh, okay. Shaq always needs a nemesis, man. He's said that 100 times.
Shaq like picking on the guards. It was Damian Lillard. Now it's this guy. You know, but you think about Spider. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of potential. He can do his thing, but I know where Shaq is going with that. You know, there are so many guys out in this league that are dynamic, but how do you make the people around you dynamic too? And I think that's what Shaq was getting at when he said it, because I heard him on air say that. And I look around the league, like Allen Iverson was dynamic, but he didn't make anybody around him dynamic. Carmelo Anthony, dynamic. He didn't make anybody run it. And it's the thing about, you look at what Kobe did, he had that moment where he didn't, then he didn't, and then he understood that, okay, I tried it on my own, it's not working, I have to make the people around me dynamic too. And that's what it's about. It's nobody in this league that can do it by themselves. You know, they're going to need somebody. Even the great Michael Jordan needs Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Tony Kukoc, Steve Kerr. He needed these guys.
Yeah. Speaking of Steve Kerr, I think Steve's going to join us next week on the show. So I'm anxious to pick his brain. It's like we picked Shaquille's. We got a little bit of a locker room talk. You guys played together for a couple years?
Steve Kerr?
Yeah. San
we
Antonio?
Missed each other. No, it's like every time I went to Spurs, he was gone. And so then he came back and did a little thing with coaching, you know, internship.
Oh, so you guys just missed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you must have missed by like a year.
Yeah, 1 year. I'm excited to talk to him about some things.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So we'll get to that on next week's show. I was speaking. We're talking about the Jazz. I did not see the Jazz coming. They've won 8 straight as of the taping of this show. I'm really surprised by the play of the Utah Jazz. Did not see them coming.
They're taking advantage of their opportunities. The thing about the Jazz is they have a defensive-minded team. And they might not think about that, but when you have someone like Gobert just sitting in the back, waiting to block shots, and that's all he want to do. He's not going to try to bring the ball up. He's not going to try to go for 50. He's not going to shoot threes. He knows his role. And think about it. He got $200 million to know his role.
Shaq was talking about it. He got paid.
Exactly. Got paid. So I think with the Jazz, that's what they know exactly who they are. And if you really think about this, for years, since, you know, the great, late Jerry Sloan, the Jazz have always had an identity. You knew who they were the moment you walked in their building. It was about stopping them. You know, the only thing that's different now is you have Spider, who makes them a little bit unpredictable because he can score from anywhere. He's really shooting it from three this year, too. So
yeah,
he's lighting it up.
We're taping this show. Comes out on Wednesday. We're taping it late Tuesday afternoon, but we're on the one-year anniversary of Kobe. Having lost Kobe Bryant, his beautiful daughter, nine others in that tragic helicopter crash in 2020. I will still contend that was the start of everything that happened last year. It was like right after Kobe, man, there was no turning back. What kind of relationship did you have with Kobe? And kind of like when you look back at him, is there something that you kind of try to like take a like? I think so many people take lessons from Kobe because he has that, you know, Mamba mentality.
Yeah, you know, I there's really no lesson to take from Kobe other than to be a better dad, you know, because there are moments as a professional athlete where you put your craft before your family because you think if I go out here and get better, I can provide for my family better because I'm going to get better. It's going to be a better basketball player. I get a better contract. And I look back at my days and even when I was done playing basketball, I still was traveling, doing stuff for the NBA, doing television for the Lakers. Yeah. You know, didn't get that. You don't spend enough time with your kids. And I think I look back on that moment, you know, and I think it's like, you know, how did he do it? Because his demand is a million times more than what my demand was. You know, and
most people.
And for him to be able to always be there for his daughter's practices and do those type of things. And it's amazing. I guess, you know, it helps also when you got your own plane too. So
it does. It absolutely does.
You know, you can get around a lot easier, but it's, you know, I enjoy every moment I had with him and playing on the Lakers because, you know, there's people, generational people, and he was a generational player where he was special and only a select few get to play with these guys. And for me to be there in that moment where he was just open-eyed, asking questions and trying to learn everything and apply it to his game was an honor to be there and to give him tips along the way. You know, I think if he was alive today, I've never recorded this, but I mean, we did this show for him with American Express, and he was like just talking. He said, "Rob, I need to thank you for my threes." I'm looking like, "Huh?" He said, "Yeah, because you came to me one day, and he just told me, so don't try to jump so high on your threes and relax." And he says, "Ever since you told me that, I took it to heart and applied it, and my three game got better." So, you know, this is the first time I ever told this story, so I'm like, you know, can kind of, I take a little bit, just a small pleasure.
Smidgen. A little like bit of credit.
Having Kobe, you know, able to shoot the three ball.
that's all me. Pat. Yeah. Do you realize when you're playing with a guy like a, I guess it's really hard in the moment when you're playing with a guy like a Kobe to go, this is kind of a generational player that I'm on the court with. And I guess maybe it was so early in his career, it's kind of hard to know. Because I feel like a lot of times we look back and we're like, God, that was early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s Lakers teams were just, you look back 20 years and go, God, they were like almost unstoppable, you guys.
And you know, coming into the league, I played with one of those generational guys and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
And you have those moments where you just want to sit back and watch them. If as a player, you hate being on the bench, but when you have guys like this, you love being on the bench because you're up close and personal and able to watch the show. And for me, there were so many moments where I, being that sixth man for the Lakers, where I got a chance to sit back in that first and third quarter and just watch Kobe go to work.
Yeah.
And I remember it was a point there where he was on his streak of, I think it was like 20 plus games of scoring 30 or more points or, you know, whatever it was. And it was funny. I remember we were in the locker room and we was having a negotiation. It was funny because I wish we'd had like cell phones that could record this thing. So we were in the locker room and Kobe was like, "Yo, man, I want to continue my streak." And we were all looking like, "So what you going to give us?"
What are you giving up?
So we actually got on the blackboard and we started writing like a little contract.
Like ransom notes? Like, this is my list of demands?
Yeah. And we continue to give you the ball. This is what we want. We want this from Adidas because, you know, he was an Adidas guy.
Oh,
he was like,
man.
Oh, we want this, and this. And so
this
we
was
all
a holdup.
Yeah. We had all these demands. If you want the rock, this is what we need to get.
You better pony up, fella.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what you can do when you're that good as a team and you can like defer to someone and still be able to compensate. Yeah. You know, you think about it, when Shaq, you know, had his, you know, career high, it was his birthday. Yeah. We're that good where we can just say, dude, we're going to go to you. But on the flip side of that, those guys, Shaq and Kobe, are that good that they can carry us and do the things so we can still win, even if we defer to those guys.
Well, listen, I want to. There's a couple things I want to try and bring to every show here, Robert, as we're kind of getting to know each other and sort of developing a show. And something that I think you and I have talked about doing, and I think it's a fun thing to bring to the show, is the big shot of the week, where I get to kind of bring somebody to the table and just throw a little love on a positive story that's out there, usually in sports because it's kind of what we do. But this one is kind of a two-parter. Oklahoma State men's basketball coach Mike Boynton got to surprise a kid on his team named D. Mitchell, who plays basketball at Oklahoma State. I don't know if you saw this. Kid's mom lost his job to the pandemic. So D. Mitchell goes out and picks up like 40-something hours a week at Walmart on top of his class load, which he's got to do like 15 hours a week to stay eligible for the team. So he's doing all of this as a walk-on. So his coach went to Walmart and surprised him during his shift by putting him on scholarship.
We're standing here outside of Walmart here on the west side of Stillwater, Oklahoma, and we're going to go in and tell D. Mitchell that he's going to be on scholarship, well-deserved and hard-earned opportunity for him.
We've got the entire team standing by here on Zoom, just waiting to congratulate D.
D. Mitchell's been with us for 3 years, starting today. He's done so much for our program. I thought today was a great opportunity 3 years later to let him know that he's going to be on scholarship.
I love that. I love the reaction from his teammates, and everybody's just so excited that he gets that opportunity.
Yeah. And the thing about walk-ons, you know, they're walking on because they have a passion and a love for the game. And we had a walk-on when I was at Alabama named Philip Pearson. I got to know Philip because we played him in high school. You know, they were the number one team in high school. And we joke about this because they came to my small town and played in my high school's Christmas tournament. They call it the Ori Invitational because they know I was going to win it and you come to it. So, and we got to know each other. And then he walked on in Alabama and we would tell those stories. But every day in practice, he would come with it. He wasn't that good, but he had the heart.
That's what it matters.
I mean, diving on the floor for the ball. Yeah. And I mean, he could have a sore knee. He's going to practice. And now he's, you know, he coached at Alabama for a little bit, assistant coach in Georgia. And you respect him because he had the heart. He had, and it's the thing a lot of people don't understand. You can love the game of basketball and not have the talent to play. You can have a little bit of talent and not play, but he didn't have the talent, but he had the smarts. So he still used that passion, not to just play it, but to coach it. And there's so many kids out there that I talk to that says, I'm too short or I'm too skinny. But if you have that passion and that love, you can still be around the game. Who says you have to play it? You can still coach it and love it because you know it. And that's how I feel, how Philip was, you know.
Yeah.
Philip is still hanging around. I love Philip. He was that practice dummy. We call him the practice dummy.
Oh,
so,
no.
But you knock him down, he'd get back up and one more.
Hit him again. Take it to him again. Do you have a coach that stands out to you? Because I love guys like that, coaches that like take a real rooted personal interest in their kids, especially college coaches, because it means so much for those kids' future. Do you have like a coach that you were like really, really close with or still talk to?
Yeah, I still talk to my high school coach, Richard Robertson, because he was, he was like a second dad to me. You know, my mom, was living in Alabama. My dad was in the military and he was in South Carolina. So I had that moment with my high school coach where he would just talk to me like a father. I remember one time where I was just frustrated with life. My best friend had just, committed suicide, and I was kind of done with basketball in the sense that I was just done with the school because the way that they treated him and things, how they came, I was just very, very frustrated with it. So I was thinking about, leaving and going to South Carolina to live with my dad. And it was just one of those where we had a moment. You got this following. You got this stuff going on in your life. Just this is going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a leader. And he just was on me all the time to be a leader for my high school team. And that carried over to when I got to college, because as soon as I stepped on the campus of the University of Alabama, I expected to be a leader. I felt like I was the best person on the court, and I felt like I had the presence to be a leader. So I had to thank my high school coach for making me step up to the plate and be a man. And I remember my senior year. I just played my last game in high school. And I think one of the greatest moments in my basketball career was one of my teammates in high school. He came up to me and he was like, his name was Lewis. And he came up to me and says, Robert, I just want to say thank you. I'm like, looked at him like, for what? You know, I'm young, I'm 17. Like, for what? Yeah. He said, you made me a better player. And I really enjoyed playing with you because you made the game fun. And for me, you don't even think about stuff like this at that age. But when you get to the pro level like I did and you look back on your career and all the great moments you have, that was like one of the most heartfelt moments for him to come to me and tell me that. I'm not even going to tell you where he found me at because we were playing it. I'm going to tell you.
Now you got to tell me.
I got to tell you.
Now you have no choice.
We were playing at the University of Alabama state tournament. We lost in the state tournament. I was sitting way up in the rafters, you know, kind of by myself. I ain't gonna lie. I was shedding a couple of tears because I was sad.
Yeah.
And I saw him coming, so I was able to wipe the tears away before he got there. And he just walked over there. He and I just sat there and have like a 15-minute conversation. And he just said, thank you, and then walked away. And so
that was one of
the most heartfelt moments in my career, you know, as far as – because you think about it. How many high school kids at that time will come up to a person and be bold and honest about that and be – you know, because back then you'd be like, oh, he just, you know, stop being a sissy, stop being a punk, you know, things they used to say like that.
But
he didn't care. He knew that he had to say it. And I appreciate it from that. And every time I see him, I literally give him a hug and say, thank you for those comments.
Something else I want to do on this show as well is I want to make you laugh, damn it. we're gonna have fun on this show. So
hey, I love to laugh. That's something that you I tell you, when Phil made us do those tests, that's one of the things I want to ask Steve about, that test that y'all, the paper, the written test.
He make you do a test?
He had fun. That was my motto. I'm going to have fun regardless of the moment because I know the struggles so many people have out there, the struggles you have as a parent when you have a sick child at home. So I was going to enjoy my life and have fun.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I'm all about infusing fun into things. So this is a segment we're starting called That's Unfortunate, where something has happened that just provides us with a laugh. And damn it, it was a little bit unfortunate. This comes to us from the floor of the United States Senate. This is Chuck Schumer talking about the second impeachment against the president.
There will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
That's very unfortunate.
That man said he incited an erection on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
Hey, he will live forever in infamy.
Forever in infamy. This is not a political shot. Has Trump incited an erection in anybody ever? Because
His wife.
His wife doesn't even want to hold his hand. You see,
I know.
He stopped to talk to the press when he was leaving, and his wife was like, "Boo, see ya, gone, man."
Well, maybe just in one guy, you know, who has, you know, has some problems there. You know who I'm talking about.
Maybe the guy who wore the bison horns and invaded the Senate. Maybe no, he
the guy
was
who laid on the bed and stuck his hand in his pants. Oh, I was just stressing my shirt. So, I don't even want to say his name.
No, we all know who you're talking about. Borat, too. We know what's up. All right.
What's that running down the side of my face there?
Hair dye coming right down to my mouth here and in my lip. And, well, Chuck Schumer, that was unfortunate. But
you know what's funny thing about that?
But damn it, we enjoyed the hell out of it.
You saw it coming. It's like that person that slips on
so
the
to
ice
speak.
And is trying to help himself. He said he messed up there. Oh, he's bumbling, stumbling. Uh-oh. Well, he just said erection?
One more time, Schumer.
There will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John
there
Trump
it was. That was the stumble.
Incited the erection.
Oh.
Insurrection.
Yeah.
Against the United States.
Ridiculous.
I just want to know what his wife or his kids, grandkids,
he'll never live that down.
What did they say when he got home?
For the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, incited an erection. That'll hang on him forever. So, all right. Well, if you have a funny clip,
that was unfortunate.
Yeah, well, it was very unfortunate for him. So, if you have a great clip from that you see out there, or something you want to send to us, we're at Big Shot Bob Pod on Twitter and Instagram. BigShotBobPod@gmail.com. Send it over. We'll give you credit on the show. Thank you to our old friend Caleb for that one. All right, and we're going to wrap up the show this week with a segment I'm calling the post-game presser. So, end of the show. I have a lot of people that are sending me random questions for Robert Horry. We want to get to know Robert Horry a little bit better if you don't know him. And I guess this kind of goes to me, too, because we're getting to know each other still. So I'm going to end the show every week with just five random questions from listeners. I'm calling it the post-game presser. And we'll get your answers.
Post-game five.
The post-game five. So we know you're a seven-time NBA champion and a great TV broadcaster. What are you not good at? What's something you're really bad at?
Writing papers.
Writing papers.
I'm just joking, but right now I'm currently trying to finish my degree. I got three classes left. So writing papers are not my forte. But
what are you getting
a
degree
in? I'm trying to figure it out.
What is it?
A degree in BS.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, I always like to say that. I'm getting a degree in BS.
Of course. Business science? No, just BS. Just BS.
BS.
You get to book your all-time favorite guest for this show, dead or alive. Who do you want to talk to?
You know, this is going to sound weird.
No.
He's alive.
Okay.
And...
So we have a chance to get him. Okay.
Yeah, I would love to talk to Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
I'm a huge Bruce Willis fan, man.
Really?
From Moonlighting. From back in Moonlighting. I used to.
Okay, so you're a Bruce Willis fan from Moonlighting.
From Moonlighting.
Not from Die Hard.
Not from Die Hard. From Moonlight. Because
oh man.
One of my favorite episodes is a word I love to use. He was talking to, was Cybill Shepherd.
Cybill Shepherd. Yeah.
Yeah, he was saying boink, boinking,
boink.
Boink, boink. And ever since then, I love the word boinking.
The word boink just makes you giggle. Boinking.
So Bruce Willis, I would love to talk to Bruce Willis.
I will effort for Bruce Willis on the show. I got to sit down with him when
oh, for real?
Die Hard with, what was the, Live Free or Die Hard, the one that came out in 2007. He was in Atlanta. I was hosting a show, so I got to go to the Palm down here in Atlanta and sit down with Bruce Willis for like 10 minutes. And I was cool. Never more nervous, just because it's like it's John McClane. Like you don't want to piss off John McClane.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, MF, I'm coming for you. I think you may have actually answered this question when you were talking about your high school teammate. What's the best compliment you ever received?
Well that's one. I think since we already talked about, I'm gonna go. It's a tie. So right after I retired, I took my middle son to a Laker Rockets game, and at the time I was trying to get him to understand the game of basketball. And of course, I'm dad. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And so we went into the Lakers locker room and we was in there and, he had been around Fish and Kobe and they were both standing there and like, Cam, you're getting big, man. What's up, buddy? And he's talking to him. He says, how's your basketball game coming? He says, and he looks at me and says, he's learning. And he looks at Cameron and he just says, hey, your dad is the smartest player I ever played with. So make sure you listen to what he has to tell you. And I looked at Kobe. I'm like, are you saying this because it's my son or do you believe this? And I'm like, so in the back of my mind, he believes this. So
he
I'm going with that.
Go
so,
right.
So
ride it.
But the crazy part about that helped me for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks with him, Cameron learning his basketball, and then he went back to his old ways, not listening to his dad.
No, so. Of course not. No,
I wanted to call
nothing
Kobe.
Ever
like,
sticks, yeah.
Yeah, Kobe, can you tell him what you said 2 weeks ago?
So, call his ass back, put him back in line.
To let you know how much he listened to me, he got a scholarship to play football at Texas A&M. That lets you know basketball. He's like, he don't know anything, but I'm going to go play football.
Mm. Okay, well, there you go. We're sure you've heard and received a lot of philosophies kind of along the way. Do you ever have one that sticks with you that kind of you still practice today, like a little mantra or a life philosophy or something?
One of my favorite movies of all time is Risky Business.
Really? God, I'm learning so much about you in just one show.
Do you know what the father told Tom Cruise at the end of the show?
At the end of the movie. No, I do remember the line of where he turned to the college recruiter who came to visit him during the party, and he said, sometimes you just got to say what the fuck.
What the fuck. Sometimes you got to say what the fuck.
Yeah.
Because if you harp on things too long, it's going to eat you up. And sometimes, you got to say what the fuck and move on. Because you can't just dwell on things. And when you're playing a sport and you're a professional athlete, there are going to be days that you got to say that because the other person across the way is better than you or is luckier than you or just has that moment. And so you just have to say, What the fuck, and move on.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. All right, last question, then we're going to let Robert go. All right, everybody? All right, thanks. Finally, what movie... I'm doing the post-game thing. What movie have you never seen that people are floored that you have never seen?
I can't... I
told someone a few weeks ago I had never seen The Big Lebowski, and you would have think I insulted their mother.
I can't think of anything. Because there's a lot... I'm a movie freak. I love to watch movies.
All right, what's your favorite movie? Can you, is that even a fair question?
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain is your favorite?
Purple Rain is my favorite.
I've learned more about you in the damn post-game presser today.
I had three movies when I was a little kid. Growing up in Alabama, you don't have cable. You know, sometimes you can get cable, but most times I had. These were my
I grew up the same way with you. Three channels.
So I had three channels. I would watch all the time.
And if the president was on, your night was over. That was it. You were screwed.
You can't watch late night because static come on, the flag will come on. You know,
that's right.
But the first one was Purple Rain. The second one was Trading Places.
Oh, classic.
And absolutely Beverly Hills Cop. Those were Beverly my three Hills rotation Cop. Right there.
Very
yeah.
good. Very good.
You know, and then after a while, Bad Boys came in. And you could sit here and I can, you know, talk about every line in Bad Boys.
Okay.
Every line in Purple Rain. Trading Places and everything. And
Coming
you know,
to
and,
America?
Coming to America somewhat, but now not like Trading Places. I can tell you everything in Trading Places is so funny. Because think about it. Coming to America was supposed to spawn a Trading Places 2.
Yeah, because Mortimer and Randolph got all the money.
We're back,
Mortimer.
And, you know, I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I used to have the biggest crush on Jamie Lee Curtis.
Well, that was 80s Jamie Lee. That was in the heyday of Halloween and, you know, Trading Places and...
We got to see her boobies
for like 2 seconds. Classic. All right. Well, cool, man. That was a pretty fun first show. Yeah. Got to feel it. I learned a lot about you. Purple Rain. You know, a lot of.
Man, I was a huge Prince fan.
A lot
man.
Of stuff
huge,
I didn't see
huge,
coming.
Yeah.
So, quick assessment. How do you think we did? First show. Thoughts?
I like
feedback?
It, but you have
Come
to,
on.
You know, you have to, I can ramble, man. I can ramble, so you have to, you know.
I will edit everything you said out of the show. We're good.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.